And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. That was the Foo Fighters with their track My Hero. And I am dedicating that to the now defunct Mirror newspaper. I am upset. I'm angry. And I'm disappointed beyond belief, because that paper is such an institution of this city and is so valuable to so many people, especially me. I'm not saying, you know, it's all about me, but oh my God, I love that paper, and I'm so appalled that it's over. And the way that it was shut down is just crazy. On Friday, they released a statement saying that it wasn't coming out anymore. The decision was based because they decided to close the newspaper because of the growing popularity of digital media and communications, which has changed the context in which free weekly newspapers operate. And so I'm angry. I'm really angry. I mean, they used to print 70,000 copies a week, which means somebody's reading that damn thing. And there's like so many other alternative ideas you could come up with besides just shutting the paper down and ending it for good. I mean, it could become an online entity. It could do one of those crowdfunding things. I'm sure there's tons of people that would love to contribute to keep the Mirror alive. I mean, there's just so many people that are going to be completely devastated by this move, whether it's advertisers or people that use the community resources within the pages. I mean, I constantly use that paper as a resource for my show, whether it be, you know, comic book shows or art gallery shows that I wanted to talk about, or just movies that were coming out. Like, I'm so angry. So, anyways, just join with me as we have a moment of silence for the Montreal Mirror that no longer exists. Okay, that's a moment. Anyways, if you go to their website, you see a little blurb talking about why they decided to shut down. Unfortunately, a lot of the writers and contributors had no idea what was happening until other readers offered their condolences. I mean, I'm so upset that I'll no longer be able to read Sasha. I'm so upset that there will no longer be any more motion picture purgatory within the pages of the Mirror. There's just the rants. I love the rants. There's all the columns about each specific music category, whether it be Punkasaurus Rex or Beat Clocker. It's so, so wrong. Anyways, today's show is about comics, I swear. I think I'm going to play a track so that I can calm down, and then we're going to get right into the continuation of the Marvel alternative. Here's CJLO 1690 AM. I wish I could tell you there was something we could do. I'm just so upset about this. Maybe there's some kind of website we can get on and sign things. I don't know. Google Montreal Mirror. Check it out. I know that I put something on Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, I mean, we're just a few voices. It takes the people with the big money to make the difference. So maybe they will. Who knows? All right, we're going to go to a track. Let's play Cannibal Ox Battle for Asgard. That should totally work. CJLO 1690.
I was there when it all first sparked, piercing necks with poisonous darts, paper cloths with the dark, to blend it with the scenery, snapped the whole team's weaponry machinery, before knowing I land mine, spot blowing, throwing heads off track, smacking with an open palm, big slap, make your whole body feel it when I spray, the battle just begun, it gets deeper as the song plays.
Mega with his arms folded, fist balled off, toast on the side of my waist, V on the buckle of the belt, wrapped in hell. Cave flowing, still standing with two cannons. 1-3-2 got me vanished. Ninja in the night with the phantoms. Amped to set off operas. Sea rays blast from the optics. Living in fucked up ghetto economics. Spit from the voice box, nasty with sonics. Animals released out of boxes. Plus, we got that stronghold on the throat. That'll leave you all gone on the float. Split belly, cause you off the boat.
Thank you.
out of your glass gate into a thousand crystal shards. I stayed in the basement like the crew of kids. Shut the city down like Baghdad, Lubavitch. Your stupid slick vessel warlock.
The audience laughs.
I drunk 8 ounces of water
with my time capsule.
Roll around with all the times on Mother Nature's fabric. A hard rock. I descended from stone tablets.
Juggled the bones and poems of my deceased foes.
Who couldn't bounce from spot to spot like weak toes.
Oh,
allow me to surf on your brainwave with jet skis.
Unless you want your wrist apart like the Red Sea.
On the roof of hell, you got stalked by angel feet. But you can't be down, you have gravity deficiency.
You spit.
Oh, I translate harpoons to sharp death. When the point is made from my underwater breath. Don't get walls from you with linoleum. And try to cut my square like a skin custodian.
Know me, son.
Every bite of harm. Told you not to get it on. But you still trick the holes with a broken magic wand. Small Adam, whole family dear. Did you pretend to recreate the take a light year? Squeeze your head into a sneaker. Lace your face. Throw you in the black hole. Make you swim through space.
Mind-boggling, spine-tingling. Got the stroller Galactus, now I'm planet-swallowing. Megalith's got the surfboard and he's hollering. All arch-enemies must die. And I know you're not unbreakable, son, but that's a lie. And you can't have my 314, that's my pie. Stupid, I'm a diamond in the rough. And you Lucy in the sky with a cubit. Your raps don't do it. I deal with cloud literature. Cause my real name is closer to Thor's than yours. Where we practice, there is no floor. This is the battle for Asgard. Say no more. Adam's famous stronghold, nuclear clamp the mic. And you and your best friend don't even sound tight.
I guess something ain't right.
We like constellations when they close in.
Close in.
The lost sons are floating with a mouthful of parables to get them open.
Open.
But the psionic imagery to leave them frozen.
Frozen.
I used to outdo cats like you in my lunch period. To conversate with the burning bush about a period. And bust through your ego like the Hyman line of scrimmage. Life's the goal. Your warning comes in 2 minutes.
Push that button.
How about this one?
Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2 times award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show. Where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. And today on the Onomatopoeia Show, we're going to be talking about the Marvel Alternative. It's something I've been doing for the last 2 weeks, and bad news, there's 2 more weeks. There's this week and next week, and then we're done for good. I can't believe that I can find enough to talk about Marvel for a whole month. But the thing is, my point is there was this weird sort of renaissance that occurred in 98... when Joe Quesada was tapped to do the Marvel Knights series. It was a bunch of short miniseries that he did for Marvel to sort of help them get out of bankruptcy. He was supposed to like bring fresh blood into Marvel by creating like the new Daredevil written by Kevin Smith. He did Punisher, was written by Garth Ennis and illustrated by Steve Dillon. Brian Michael Bendis started doing some Daredevils with David Mack as well. And also Joe Quesada was illustrating some of these. There was an Inhuman series and a Black Panther series on top of it. And then, after he did all that, and due to the popularity of the Marvel Knights line, Marvel offered Joe Quesada the editor-in-chief-ship in 2000. And he basically, it was weird, he was bringing like all these artists that he was working with in the alternative world, in the underground comic book world, because he had his own publishing company where he created this, it was called Event, and he created this character called Ash, who was like this superhero firefighter. But anyways, you know what I mean? Like, he brought his buddies, and his buddies were good. And Brian Michael Bendis started doing like Ultimate Spider-Man, which was super hot, because the movies had just come out, and Spider-Man was this young guy, and was illustrated by Mark Bagley. There was like all sorts of cool things coming out. And so now we're going to continue to talk. We talked a bunch about like some of the really cool Marvel comics that were coming out in the early 80s that had nothing to do with Joe Quesada. but were still really cool, so we had to talk about them. And then last week we talked about the whole advent of the 98 Marvel Knights onto 2000 and all the cool things like Ecstatics, written by Peter Milligan and illustrated by Mike Allred. Like, did you ever think Mike Allred would do a Marvel comic? No, but he did, and it's great. So we're going to continue to talk about some of the stuff that's kind of been happening in the late 2000s from, say, like 2003 or 4 and up, as well as some of the stuff that I didn't have time to talk about last week. So first we're going to start with, well, actually I wanted to mention too that maybe you've noticed I've not talked about Spider-Man at all, and that's because I've already done my favorite Spider-Man comics that are kind of weird and interestingly illustrated, so don't feel like I'm neglecting him. I just wanted to clear that up. Now, also I wanted to say we're going to talk about Runaways. Runaways was awesome. It was this comic book series published by Marvel. It was created by Brian K. Vaughan. It was illustrated by Adrian Alfona. It came out in 2003, and it was started this line called Tsunami, which is kind of cheesy, but the thing is Runaways just far and exceeded anything else that Marvel had done at the time. And the other thing that made it so great is this is one of the first series in a long time that created like original characters. Like, these were all from Brian Vaughan. Now, the Runaways went on for quite a long time, actually. There was, and at one point, even Joss Whedon was writing it. Isn't that cool? There were three volumes. I actually have, the hardcovers, so I don't have all the comic issues, but the three volumes, the first volume had 18 issues, the second volume had 30 issues, and the third volume had 14 issues. Now, the story is really cool. It's about a bunch of kids. Well, they're like sort of, one's a kid and the rest are teenagers, and they get together every year because their parents get together every year, and they're just like, of course, as they're getting older, they're just getting so tired of this whole thing, you know. It's like when parents get together for camping trips and they're so beyond it, they're too cool, but they've been doing it every year, these kids, so, you know, they know each other pretty well through forced interaction. Now, the thing is they get bored this one time, and they're putzing around the castle of where whoever's parents' house they're in. I forget. It's been a while since I read it. And they see what their parents are doing every year when their parents get together, which is do, like, weird, crazy satanic rituals where they kill people and are basically doing all this to have superpower, right? And so they come to the conclusion that their parents are evil and they're runaways because they're trying to not turn evil like their parents. Now, there's some really great characters. There's Alex Wilder, who's a prodigy, and he's like the leader of the team. He falls for Nico Minoru, who's like a very powerful witch. There's a Valley Girl, and she's kind of goth. And then there's the Valley Girl, Carolina Dean, who discovers she's like this rainbow, crazy rainbow alien. And then there's Gertrude Yorks, who's got a telepathic link to a dinosaur and who's also super duper smart. And there's Chase Stein, who's kind of the jock, but his father's like this crazy inventor, so Chase gets to all use all his inventions, like crazy awesome strong gloves and this thing called the Leapfrog, which is like this awesome ship that gets them around everywhere. They live in places like the Brea tar pits. They're on the run from the other Marvel superheroes. They're basically just trying to survive without becoming evil like their parents. Later on, they're joined by a cyborg, Victor Mancha, who is kind of like, they discover he's like the son of one of the sons of Ultron. And also there's a Skrull who is part of Carolina's past, who comes to hang with them. And so, like, there's, and it's like so good, and it's so drama oriented, and it's full of teen angst. Adrian Alfona drew most of the series, but Brian and Adrian left towards the end of the second volume, and the second volume was continued by Joss Whedon and illustrated by Michael Ryan, and then Terry Moore and Humberto Ramos took over for a couple story arcs, and then Christopher Yost and took over for a bit as the writer. But then in the final volume, Catherine Moen and Sarah Pacelli were the creative team, and they were really good. They had a really great feel for the series. I love Sarah Pacelli's art. We're going to talk about both of those creators together, Catherine Ramone and Sarah Pacelli, a little bit later, because, yeah, they've done some great stuff for Marvel, but maybe it'll be next week because their stuff is more new. Anyways, CJLO 1690 AM, we're talking about Marvel alternative comics. It doesn't really exist, does it? But it should. But my point is there was this huge chunk of time in the aughts where Marvel was really publishing some neat stuff. And Runaways, you know, if you're looking for a comic for a 14-year-old girl or boy, this is one of the best. You can get them in these little cool manga-sized digest formats that teenagers seem to love. I personally, because I really love Adrian Alfona's art, have the hardcovers because they're so huge and gorgeous and beautifully colored. Adrian Alfano has a style that almost looks like fashion illustration. Like he, and also has a bit of a manga influence to it as well. There's gorgeous covers by Joan Chen. There's lots of like romance and drama and action and adventure and lots of just typical teen shenanigans as well. So it's, yeah, a really great series, Runaways. I also wanted to mention, let's see here. Oh, yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about the X-Men. Okay, so there's like all these X-Men comics that I wanted to mention. But the first one I did want to mention was in 2001. I don't even know how this came about. It has to be Joe Quesada did it. But somehow they managed to convince Grant Morrison to start writing the X-Men. Now, apparently it's not that hard to get him to do that because after that he did Superman and all this other stuff. And the thing is I have read interviews with Grant Morrison where he's talking about how he really honestly believes that aliens are going to come and they're going to be like superheroes. And he's creating these superhero comics and as kind of like a primer for them to read so they understand how they have to behave with on Earth and treat humans. He's a pretty fascinating guy, actually. If you're bored and you want to read about an interesting person, Grant Morrison is the guy to read about. But anyways, so he took over the X-Men's title, and the first story arc was E for Extinction, which was issues 114 to 116, and it was illustrated by Frank Quitely, who is this Scottish artist who is really unlike anybody else. Like, his White Queen was like this weird Asian skinny stick girl, where you're looking at her costume and you're just like, gravity, it defies gravity. How does that work exactly? He also revamped the Beast to be created this, like, the Beast that you see in the X-Men movies where he's like super lionized and massively hairy. That was all Frank Quitely and Grant Morrison. He also created this really scary evil character called Cassandra Nova, who was just like awful. And she just kept coming back. Like, you're reading this and you're like, okay, she's dead. And then it's like, no, she's not. She comes back. He also creates some really cool characters that were new to the X-Men universe, like Beak, who is this hideous sort of bird character, but who is this cool character who had a heart of gold. There was also Angel Salvador, who ended up becoming Beak's girlfriend, who was this like trash talking Hispanic girl who actually had like the powers of a fly. She had like these huge wings and stuff. So like it was really different, really, really different, and really well written and very exciting to read. Like, very exciting. You didn't know what was going to happen. You really didn't. He did like an annual with Leno Francis Yu in 2001. He did another story arc called Imperial, which was 118 to 126 of the new X-Men, which was illustrated by Igor Cordy, Frank Quitely, and Ethan Van Shriver, because, you know, Quietly is not that fast. I forgot to mention one of the other characters that he created were the Stepford Cuckoos, who are like these girls that the White Queen was sort of telepathically mentoring. And I think there was like five of them, but then by the end of the series of Grant Morrison's run, there was like three. And then, because there was a giant like takeover of the X-Men school by this character called Quentin Quire, who was super smart and super evil. And it was really fascinating. And like, Quire is all about, you know, being like a mutant anarchist, and just fascinating stuff. So Grant Morrison's run literally went from 114 to issue 154. So, and like, so many different artists were on it. Chris Bacallo, who's doing a lot of X-Men stuff now. Phil Jimenez, who's been working on some Fables. Mark Silvestri, who's been doing stuff since the beginning of time. I'm exaggerating. He was doing stuff in the 90s with Image. Top cow dude. But anyways, my point is that it was interesting. It's really interesting, Grant Morrison's take on the X-Men. And he really took them into different ways, in different worlds, and different, just really an adult look at comics, superhero comics. I can't explain it well enough, but it was good, is what I'm saying. You got to check out Grant Morrison's run on the X-Men. They thankfully traded all this stuff, so it's not hard to get, but I actually just kept the issues because I'm a snob and I only wanted to get the stuff by Frank Quitely because his stuff is really sublime. Like, honestly, it's like I've said for the last two episodes, some of these artists working on some of these Marvel comics, you're just like, what the heck? Did they just go to like Italy and pick like the best master painter they could find and then said, okay, now do a Cyclops miniseries? That's what it seems like. I mean, oh my God, we're going to talk about it next week, but they got Milo Manara to do an X-Men comic. Can you believe it? The Women of X-Men by Milo Manera. He used to paint erotica for heavy metal. Okay? Come on. That's just fantastic. All right. Anyways, I think we should go to another track, and then we're going to talk about maybe Astonishing X-Men, because Joss Whedon wrote that too, and we all know how amazing Joss Whedon is. He didn't only just make a bajillion, kajillion, zillion dollars for Marvel with his Avengers movie. Oh no, that wasn't him. I think he should write Hulk as well. And so we clearly, Joss Whedon is a good writer for superhero comics, especially Marvel. And when you don't get any more Buffys and Angels and you're kind of starving for some Fireflies, you just have to take what you can get. When Joss Whedon is doing Astonishing X-Men, that's what you read. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So let's go to another track. This track is by Method Man. This song is called Biscuits. It's off of his Tikal album. I'm playing it because he does some name checks to like Namor and Captain America and I think Iron Man or someone. I don't know. They all do name checks to the Marvel guys, but how can you go wrong? It's Method Man. CJLO 1690 AM, the Onomatopoeia Show. And you're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. What you just heard was the Runaways theme song. It was written by and sung and composed by the editor Nick Lowe of the Runaways. And he did that to promote the all-new creative team of Catherine Ramon and Sarah Pacelli on the third volume of the Runaways. So you can find that everywhere. It's easy to download and find on Marvel websites and podcasts. And I think that's pretty hilarious, actually, and awesome. Before that, you heard Method Man doing Biscuits, because he loves Marvel Comics too. Now, some of the comics I wanted to mention quickly before we're, of course, running out of time like usual, and I've got so much to talk about. Quickly, I wanted to mention there's an Uncanny X-Men annual that came out in 2001, written by Joe Casey and illustrated by Ashley Wood. Yes, that's right, Ashley Wood. For those of you snobs that only read Juxtapose and love the art of David Cho, you should know who Ashley Wood is. And for those of you who actually listen to my show, you should know who Ashley Wood is, because I spent so much money on his action figure. But yeah, I mean, can you imagine? No, you can't. So go find it. It's an X-Men annual, 2001, illustrated by Ashley Wood. Definitely one of the highlights of when Joe Quesada took over Marvel. I also wanted to mention that just before Joe Quesada took over Marvel, in 2000. In 1999, Joe Casey also wrote this series called Children of the Atom, X-Men Children of the Atom. There was, I believe, four issues of this series. It was illustrated by Steve Rude. Now, I've already talked about Steve Rude because he does a lot of great stuff. He did a Captain America miniseries we talked about last week. But this Children of the Atom is so radical. It's, again, it's like, well, I'm pretty sure the way I describe Steve Rude is if I said, like, if Jack Kirby and Jim Steranko had a baby, you would have Steve Rude. And that's pretty much what the Children of the Atom looks like as well. It's like so awesome 60s. It looks like one of my bestest, favoriteest romance comics that I never had. And it's just about the X-Men. You've got the Beast, you've got Iceman, you've got Marvel Girl, and you've got Cyclops. And it's just, oh, an Angel as well. It's a lot of fun. And it's so good. So good. That's why I'm telling you about it. And that's why you need to know about it. And what else am I going to tell you about? Okay, so one of the things I forgot to tell you about last week, well, I didn't forget. I just didn't have time. They did this X-Men Unlimited series, and it was really hit or miss, right? I mean, a lot of what Marvel does is when they do these mini-series, it's a way to see how certain cartoonists will go over with the population. So not only do they pick, like, people who've been around for a while but just haven't, like, really been exposed that much to the Marvel Universe, they also get guys that haven't really done much ever, period, and they're like, okay, well, try this little four-page story about Domino and see how you do. Now, some of the issues suck big time, but some of them are really good. So, for example, if you get X-Men Unlimited number 30, there's this great Michael Golden cover, which is sort of emulating the Beatles. It's not Sergeant Pepper's. It's the one, Let It Be, where they're walking across the street, you know? And so, but it's like Nightcrawler, Storm, Colossus, and Wolverine. And within the pages, you have Angel, Banshee's Angels. And it includes Jubilee, Monet, and Paige, a bunch of Gen X characters, illustrated by Jim Mawfood in full color. That's totally awesome. And written by Andy Watson, which is also totally awesome. And so cool to read a Marvel comic where, because you know, the thing about Jim Mawfood that's really awesome, is besides his total wicked cool graffiti style, he also manages to, like, promote really cool music within the pages of a Marvel comic. So, like, DJ Theo, Black Elvis, and DJ Babu. Woohoo! And, oh, cool, fashion show, sexy, aliens everywhere, Jim Mawfood, you rule! And there's a giant space rave with Banshee's Angels. Yeah! Gen X. So another issue, one of my favoriteest issues of this X-Men Unlimited series, is issue number 32. It's got a fully painted cover by Jill Thompson, who does so many wicked comics like Scary Godmother and Magic Trixie and Beast of Burden. She is the bomb. Anyways, she's been in the Marvel world for a long time. She's been in the superhero world for a long time. She started doing Wonder Woman comics, and then, you know, she was doing some Sandman. Anyways, this issue number 32 of X-Men Unlimited is so great because it's like behind the music, and it's illustrated by Jill Thompson, written by Will Pfeiffer, who is a very excellent writer, and it's all about Dazzler, and it's sort of like a VH1 Dazzler story, whatever happened to Dazzler. And she, like, Jill Thompson illustrates it like there's no tomorrow. Like, she does a great Hulk. It's really funny. It's so funny and so good and so irreverent and fun. fun. Can I say that a million times? It's fun. Now, there were other X-Men Unlimiteds that I grabbed, and I could go through each one and tell you why I grabbed it and why the artist is so excellent. But I'm not going to. I am going to throw some names at you. Guys like Joe Chiodo. Guys like Rob Hayes. Guys like Chris Bacallo. Guys like Ben Shannon. There's just, they even tried to bring it back for a little while. And they had guys like David Adja and Michael Avon Oeming, and who else here is really good? Damon Hurd. So, like, there's some miniseries out there, if you can find them, they're really good. Like, next week we're going to talk about Strange Tales, and that's just going to blow your brains up if you're into alternative comics. Like, real alternative comics, like Ivan Brunetti doing the cover for an X-Men comic. That's crazy. But that's, we're going to talk about that next week. This week, we're going to continue to talk about some really cool comics. But should we go to a track? Yeah, because I'm going to do some news. Let's go to a track. You'll see CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show. There's no T in it. What am I saying? I'm so upset about the mirror. I'm just not even able to speak English. There. Okay, we're going to play Ukla the Mok. And these guys are like total hardcore comic nerds. You can go on YouTube. You can go anywhere and find their album. And their songs are all really good. One of my favorite songs is called Arthur Curry, which is all about Aquaman. But as you can tell, it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about here today, because we're only talking about Marvel Comics. So today's track by Ukla the Mok is Super Skrull, CJLO 1690 AM.
On the Skrull home world, in a secret laboratory, they modified a chromosome, and so begins the story of a Skrull whose nearly impossible chore is to battle and defeat the Fantastic Four. He's Super Skrull, incredible. He's as geeky as EGN, that's noble. Though to us he seems preposterous, it's really not for us to just pass a rash judgment on the Super Skrull, cause his left arm can stretch like it's made out of plastic. It's as elastic as Mr. Fantastic. His right arm's got orange rocks for skin. From the shoulder down, he's as strong as Big Ben Grimm. He can turn one leg invisible, which really isn't all that practical. Unless you're extremely gullible, you won't get fooled by Super Skrull. His other leg is flammable, same thing as inflammable. He crossed his legs and then he learned his visible leg could still get burned, though his appearance is gone. And raises many questions anatomical. His features aren't as malleable as the features of his fellow Skrull. From his head down to his shoes, he wears unstable molecules. He's endorsing RC Cola, improves and shakes with Arnim Zola. He's not even possible, but what the hell, he's Super Skrull. He can't tie his shoes without an oven mitt, and he has a hard time finding shirts that fit. Painfully implausible, technically impossible. Socks he's got are plausible. His favorite band is Jethro Tull. He's not just any ordinary Skrull. He's Super Skrull.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. That was Ukla the Mok with Super Skrull. Okay, in the news today, the mirror doesn't exist anymore. Yes, I'm beating a dead horse, but maybe you haven't heard yet, and I'm very angry about it. And, like, it just came out 3 days ago, and nobody said anything about it shutting down. So wrong. It's like, I'm mad. I'm so mad. Urgh! Hulk smash. Okay, so let's talk about something else. So I was at Winners yesterday, and the, you know how, like, when you're at the checkout and they have all these impulse buys? I totally impulse buy a Tintin action figure. I was excited about that. It's like, wow, that's cool. Action figures in the impulse section. So that was awesome. But what was not awesome was I tried to watch Brave last night, and I totally got foiled on so many levels that it just didn't happen. So maybe I'll try and see it tonight. But I'm really excited because I spent all week reading this excellent Billy Connolly biography, and I know this has nothing to do with comics. Well, actually, it has a lot to do with stand-up comedy, and Just for Laughs is around the corner. And I've also been watching Parks and Rec, which is also starring Aziz Ansari, who's also going to be at Just for Laughs. But Billy Connolly is not going to be at Just for Laughs. He is just a stand-up comic who is very funny. Anyways, the great thing about this biography of his is it's written by his wife. And so, I don't know, for women and men out there, this is an excellent biography because A, it's really funny, and B, it's written with so much love and insight and respect. Who better to write your biography than the woman of your love of your life? Like, he's been married to her for like almost 20 or 30 years now. 20 years, for sure. Anyways, I think that was exciting. And I had to share it with you. And also, I've been watching a lot of Parks and Recreation, and I think it's hilarious. It is the bee's knees, and you really need to watch it. I cannot believe how many times I was like pounding my bed in laughter because I just could not get over how hilarious that show is. I love so many of the actors. Like Aubrey Plaza is hilarious. Rick Offerman is amazing. Of course, Amy Poehler is fantastic. I'm so excited that Adam Scott is on it now because he was so wonderful in Party Down. I think Parks and Recreation is fantastic and you should see it. And speaking of Brave, Billy Connolly did a voice in it. That totally makes no sense in any way, but I'm just passing that on because, you know, like it's a Mobius loop of news. Yeah. Anyways, I think that's all my news. Yeah, I totally just blew my whole wad right there. The end. Also, there's some Fantasia coming up stuff. I don't know what to tell you because there's no more Montreal Mirror. That was my one source of information. No, I'm just kidding. I can use the internet. Thank God I got the internet, eh? Finally got the internet 2 weeks ago. And oh, by the way, I guess you're probably wondering what's happening with my website. I can update you on that. So I now have control of my domain, but now I have to move everything over to a new server. I'm changing house. So that's going to take a bit of time. That's not going to happen in the next week or anything. But while that bit of time is occurring, at least I'm working on shows so that when the time is up, I can just shove everything in there really quick. And then all of a sudden, you guys will be bludgeoned with new material and you won't know what to do with it all. Anyways, so soon, it'll have the same web address, cartoongal.com. It'll just be in a different server. Yeah. Anyways, I'm pretty excited about it because I have lots of stuff I want to share with you guys. And after this month of Marvel Madness, if I don't have anything planned with Just for Laughs, because I still haven't heard back from the Patton Oswalt people, and I should have by now, maybe I scared her away with my massive plea to touch a Muppet. Please, may I fondle a Muppet? And she was just like, I'm not hooking this girl up with any interviews at all. She's insane. But anyways, you guys know that. That's no secret. My point is if nothing like that happens, you're going to have to listen to an hour about Hellboy coming up soon. Because I've just been like immersing myself in the Hellboy world and watching the Hellboy movies and reading the Hellboy books with no pictures and reading the Hellboy comics with loads of pictures. And I've loved Hellboy for so long, and I was so sad when they made the movies and they became so popular, and now everybody loves Hellboy. And now I have all this Hellboy junk at my house, but I still love Hellboy. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But we're still talking about Marvel Alternative. Oh my god, and I'm wasting so much time talking about nothing. Okay, let's go to one more track, and then we're going to continue, because like there's Iron Man. I wanted to talk to you guys about Civil War and House of M and Secret Wars and... Oh! Shut up, Robin! Okay, this track is called Catch Me, Now I'm Falling. It's by the Kinks, and it's got a Captain America reference in it. See you, Jello!
I remember when you were down and you needed a helping hand. I came to feed you, but now that I need you, you won't give me a second glance. Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. You were good.
Delight with DJ Soulspin every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM.
And you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. That was the Kinks, Catch Me Now, I'm Fallin'. Captain America, Colin. Yeah, it's a lot of people like Captain America, and I find him so boring. Why? So many more interesting characters in the Marvel Universe than Captain America, but far be it from me to tell you. Like Captain... Oh, wait, he's not called Captain Canuck. Like the Vindicator! Anyways, we're talking about Marvel Alternative Comics, and we're, of course, running out of time like usual, so allow me to reach over to my giant stack of comics and just start spewing, like I always do. 2008 came the Iron Man movie, so then they started doing these wicked awesome Iron Man comics. At one point, like I was mentioning last week, Eric Kennett, who did a whole bunch of work on Ann Flux, who was doing stuff with Verotic Comics with Glenn Danzig, if you can believe it, who has this really bizarro style that is totally not suited for Marvel superhero comics, but not suited in a good way because he does it and it looks awesome. He was also doing an Iron Man series when the movie came out. There was also Iron Man Viva Las Vegas, which was written by Jon Favreau, the director of Iron Man, and illustrated by Addy Granov, who is an illustrator from Heavy Metal Magazine, who's done tons of stuff for European comics, who has this really crazy, bizarre comic book computer illustration. It's so stark and like clinical looking, but still really stylish and tight, and it's cool. Also, Freezer Irving was doing an Iron Man comic. It was a six-issue miniseries called The Invincible Iron Man. And Freezer Irving was actually... The first time I saw his work was when he was doing stuff for Grant Morrison. When Grant Morrison was doing the Silver and Seven. Oh, I'm totally getting this wrong. It's been such a while since I've looked at that series. I gotta look at it. But the thing is, Freezer Irving like has this really distinctive painted style that's like really bright and all over the map. He did like a series for the Inhumans. He's just... He's really, really, really talented young guy, Freezer Irving. And so it was really interesting that when the movie came out, suddenly there were these series that just looked really amazing. And, of course, promoted the movie even more. I also wanted to mention earlier, I talked about it. Well, actually, no. Let's talk about Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4. Last week I talked about Jay Lee and how awesome he is. He also did this Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4 with Grant Morrison. Came out in 2002. Well, actually, it came out in 2001 and 2002 because it was a four-issue miniseries, and then it became a book. Anyway, so the point is it was completely illustrated by Jay Lee, just not only the covers like he's been doing lately. And it's excellent. It's all about how, like, Sue Storm is really upset that Reed Richards isn't paying any attention to her because he's off in his little lab solving stuff and being a scientist and all that jazz. And she's talking to Alicia, who is the Thing's girlfriend, this blind sculptress. And there's this really great scene where it's pouring rain out and the doorbell rings and she goes through the door and there's, like, Namor. Because the thing is if you don't know anything about Marvel Comics, like, Namor has been macking on Sue Storm since the beginning of time. Even though she's totally married, he wants her bad. And so, like, there's all these little, like, asides if you read the whole continuity. So in this great Grant Morrison story, there's this great, amazing scene where he's at the door, and she's all bitter because Reed Richards isn't paying attention to her. And all she can say when she sees Namor there in his little tidy speedos and his little wings on his ankles, all she can say at him is, I'm married. And it's like, oh, it's like reading a Spanish telenovela. But it's Grant Morrison, and it's illustrated by Jay Lee, who is just sublime. He does inks like nobody else, and they come alive, his inks. It's like they're going to come off the page and strangle you. They're so, like, inky and neat. All right, so that's Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4, and let's see what else. Oh, so I was going to talk about Astonishing X-Men quickly. This was a series where it was like a really big deal because they got Joss Whedon to write it. It was illustrated by John Cassidy, who's been doing a lot of stuff with Warren Ellis. Actually, incidentally, after Whedon stopped writing Astonishing X-Men, it was written by Warren Ellis, illustrated by Phil Jimenez. But I kind of stopped reading it after that point. Now, the thing is the very first book is amazing because there's a moment in there that I like to call a Buffy moment. Because the thing is I don't know, at this point, Colossus had disappeared. He'd been gone. Everyone thought he was dead. Actually, no, he died. He died for the some virus. Someone was called the Legacy Virus. It was going around killing everyone, and he created the antidote by sacrificing himself. But in this series of Astonishing X-Men, first of all, it was the team that was weird. It had the White Queen and Cyclops. It had Kitty Pryde, Wolverine, and the Beast. And, you know, Kitty Pryde hated the White Queen. White Queen was sleeping with Cyclops. Wolverine was just angry all the time. And it was a weird little collaboration of characters. Now, the greatest thing is halfway through the first book, they discover, Kitty Pryde discovers as she's phasing through this, military complex underground, that Colossus has been alive this whole time. And, like, just that moment where they see each other, it is so perfect. It is one of the best well-written comic moments I've ever experienced, where it's just silent and you pause. And it's a Buffy moment. Like, there's all these great moments in Buffy and Angel, and even in Firefly and Serenity, where it's just these huge, like, massive hooks, like something really major is happening, and the two characters are just staring at each other, and it's dead silent. And the first book of Astonishing X-Men, that's called Gifted, get it, because if you really care at all about Shadowcat and Colossus like I did, like I grew up where they were like in love with each other in the comic in the 80s, then it's such powerful, fun stuff. So you see, the point of these shows that I'm telling you all this stuff about Marvel, as much as I hate Marvel, and I consider myself a Marvel masochist because I keep coming back for more, and they treat their readers so terribly. They're such scammers. All they care about is money. But anyways, my point is that there are these amazing pockets of really good artistry and talented writing. Like, seriously, it'll grab you and drag you kicking and screaming into the story, even if you don't want to go. And things like, you know, if you love the new Avenger movie, well, it's fantastic that Joss Whedon's actually done a bunch of Avengers comics, or that series Runaways that was created by Brian K. Vaughan. There's comics for all ages and comics for all types that Marvel is doing. But the greatest thing, too, about it is, even though I consider this stuff pablum, and it totally is, and Marvel's full of lots of hacks, I'm not denying it, there's some really good pablum out there. That's my main point. So next week, we're going to do the last show about the Marvel alternative. We're going to talk about, like, the Marvel Zombies by Robert Kirkman. We're going to talk about the revamp of Secret War, illustrated by an amazing art illustrator. And hopefully we'll have time to talk about House of M and Civil War, because those are one of the few giant Marvel crossovers that I actually read, because it was, again, pretty dang well written. All right, we're going to go to our last track. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. I'm going to play The Young Gods doing a song called Ghost Rider. I'm very, very angry that the Montreal Mirror no longer exists. Hopefully you guys are galvanized and can think of better ways to do something about it than me just ranting about it on air. it seems really wrong. It feels really wrong. And now I have to read the Gazette, and I don't really want to. I want to read the Mirror. The Mirror was an excellent source of alternative information as well as news, not to mention a huge one-stop shopping pit stop for cultural information of things that are going on in the city, whether it be music or literature or comic books or art or dance. I even read the friggin' restaurant reviews, you know? I ripped them out because I wanted to go to those places if they were good. You know, I just cannot. I'm so angry. All right, Young Gods, Ghost Rider, CGLO.
Esprit, Thank you.